This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson today is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, oh, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Those members of the body we think less honorable be clothed with greater honor. Our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members don't need this. But God has arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member so that there may be no dissension, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Be with us in this time and place. Speak to us and through us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today we continue our Apostles' Creed sermon series. Last week we looked at, I believe, in the Holy Ghost. Today we come to the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. So what does the Holy Catholic Church mean? A lot of you have asked why these are the words used to describe the church, especially that word Catholic. But let's start with the word holy. What does it mean to you for something to be holy? That word holy does not mean perfect. That word holy does not mean better than everyone else. The word holy means dedicated to God, set apart for God, sacred. Have you ever been in the presence of holiness? The Apostles' Creed is referring to a whole group of people, the body of Christ, the church. So when have we seen the holiness of the church? You know, I saw it last week. I see it whenever I go and visit someone and find out that a whole bunch of you have been calling and writing and bringing food and reaching out to this person. And I believe that the church coming together like that is holy. That's being dedicated to God. I experience that holiness sometimes when we have music. What about you? At the beginning of the service, sometimes that music just opens our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we stop everything that we're doing, and we watch that light of Christ coming into this place. I think that's holy, sacred. When have you experienced the holiness of the church? That second word in our Apostles' Creed phrase has really piqued the interest of many in our church. It's the word Catholic, with a lowercase c, which is very important. When we hear the word Catholic, we often think of the Roman Catholic Church, like St. Henry's Church down the street. We think of a denomination and a tradition within the larger church. But the word Catholic with a lowercase c actually means universal, all-encompassing, wide and broad. It's used in the Apostles' Creed as an adjective for the church, and it means the whole universal church. So when we say the Holy Catholic Church, we are talking about the church that Jesus prayed for in John 17 when he prayed to the Father for all believers to be unified together. He said, "I ask, Father, not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." One. The Holy Catholic Church refers to one body of believers. Listen to 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." The church is holy because we are dedicated to God. Jesus said that our job is to shine our light in the world. That would be dedicated to God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill, built on a hill, cannot be hid, and no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a basket, but on the lampstand, where it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So let's look at the whole phrase now, the Holy Catholic Church. What about that word church? What does that word mean to you? It's kind of like the old saying goes, church is not a building, it's the people, right? Church is the people. It's the group, the body of believers. In the Bible, the word for church is ecclesia in Greek, which means called out. In his book, Creed, Adam Hamilton says that the church is kind of like a non-biological family. It's like a tribe. He says it's like being on God's team. How do you describe the church? Now, this is where we often run into problems. A lot of people have problems with the church. You probably know people who think the church is not necessary and it's just a bunch of hypocrites. We've all heard people say this, right? I'm spiritual, but I don't go to church. That's a growing segment of the population. The problem is the church, according to Christ, according to the Bible, is not an optional part of Christianity. It's the bedrock of it. Jesus' own body on earth, the body of Christ, is the church. Believers who follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, the church is the only place where Christians truly learn how to be in relationship with one another and in relationship with God. And we believe that our Trinitarian God is a relationship, a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is in the church that we have fellowship, we have encouragement, and we hold each other accountable to the faith. Now, of course, no church is perfect because we're here. We are a part of the church, and we are a mess, right? We're imperfect. So it stands to reason that church would be imperfect, right? Every church has its dysfunctions, its failures. Some are more dysfunctional than others. But a healthy church, despite all of that, a healthy church, which I consider us to be one, a healthy church is where we find a family of faith, people who will welcome us, encourage us, accept us as we seek to follow Jesus together. A healthy church is that support system, that place of encouragement and hope. A healthy church is not a country club. Adam Hamilton says it's more like a hospital. And we are like stretcher bearers. Remember that story of the man who was paralyzed on the stretcher and the four friends lowered him down through the roof so Jesus could heal him? That's us. That's the church. The church is also where we cheer each other on. As 1 Corinthians 12 says, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. Hamilton tells a story in his book about people coming out of addiction, and when they were baptized in their church, everybody cheered every time somebody was baptized. I think of us cheering each other on when we share our talents at the talent or no talent show. Or when the kids share a skit or a musical offering in worship. Or when the choir sings together, or when we recognize new members, or graduates, or parents, or grandparents, or people that have just received answered prayer. We're cheering each other on. We also cheer each other on because each one of us has that part to play, like I was telling the kids. Just like 1 Corinthians 12 says, we each have that essential part to play in this whole body of Christ, the church. We each have gifts and talents that are needed in this family of faith. So think right now, what are the gifts and talents that you bring to the church, to this church, to the whole church? And doesn't it bring you joy when you can share what you know and who you are? Some people might say, well, I'm listening to you talk about the church, and the church doesn't sound like such a great place to me. I don't really like the church. To that, Hamilton would say, well, what are you going to do to make it better? That's a good point. I have a pastor friend who always says to his parishioners, if you have a complaint that you're coming to share with me about the church, I also expect you to tell me how you are going to help make it better. What if we all had that attitude? When there was something here that doesn't go our way, that would be having the same mind and attitude as Christ Jesus. See, a healthy church is a beacon of light in the darkness. It's that hope in the middle of pain and suffering. Who here has experienced the goodness of this church? Raise your hand. Who has experienced the goodness of church? And how have you felt that goodness and power? Just give me a couple of examples. How have you ever felt the goodness of the church? Anybody?
Oh, people praying for me when I was in my bed accident.
Exactly. People praying for you. What else?
People bringing food when we needed it.
People gathering together to bring meals. What else? What about just that warm welcome that you receive when you come into this place and people notice that you're here? And they notice when you're not here. You know, when we talk about sharing the good news, when we talk about that term evangelism, some of what needs to be shared from each one of us is that goodness and power and hope and encouragement of the church. When was the last time you told someone about the goodness of the church? When was the last time you invited someone to something happening at the church? We all have to think about that because that's the way the church stays healthy. That's how it's thriving. That's how it grows. We can advertise on signs all day long. I can call on visitors and tell people in the community about our church, but it really is the invitation of members of the church that makes all the difference in the world. Even though most of us would say the church is essential, there are still many, many people in our world that would say it's just not a necessary part of faith. When people say they don't need a church, Pastor Adam Hamilton says this, really? You don't need encouragement from others? You don't need the blessings of worship or the Eucharist? You don't need a message from Scripture or a congregation that is like a family standing together making a greater impact on the world than they ever could alone? Really? You don't need that. I agree with him. What do people do who don't have a church family? What do they do when they suffer a loss or they want to share a big joy or they have a talent to share? Church is a gift to us in so many ways, and it is our job to share that gift. The Apostles' Creed continues with the communion of saints. What does that mean to you, the communion of saints? What about that first part, the word communion? Do you know what that means? It means the sharing of ideas or fellowship. In the Bible, the word for communion is koinonia in Greek. It refers to the fellowship of believers in the church. Now, sometimes communion refers to the meal that we know as the Lord's Supper. And that makes sense too, because that meal is also about fellowship. At that meal, we celebrate that everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior is coming together at the same meal. Communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, it's a communion of our hearts with Christ and of our lives with one another. What about the communion of saints? What does it mean to you when I say saint? The English word actually means someone who has holiness or a likeness to God. In the Bible, the Greek word for saint is hagios, which means belonging to God. It occurs 235 times in the New Testament. For Christians, the saints are all the believers who have gone before us and who are all around us right now. Hebrews 12:1 has this beautiful picture about a cloud of witnesses around us as we run the race of faith. Those are the saints. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run the race with perseverance. That's the saints above us, around us. Sometimes when we say saint today, though, it's kind of like that word Catholic. We might mean someone like, you know, Saint Mother Teresa, Saint Francis. Someone who has been recognized as a saint by the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. Someone who's performed miracles, but actually saints are just people of faith. They're ordinary people of faith. Adam Hamilton has this great definition of saint in his book, Creed. He says, saints are ordinary people who think less of themselves and more of others. I like that. We sometimes refer to people that way, don't we? We say, she is such a saint. He is a saint. Saints are people like us. Saints are people who are able to step outside ourselves and follow Paul's words in Philippians 2 when we are encouraged to have the same mind and attitude of Christ Jesus, to humble and empty ourselves. The Bible talks about each one of us becoming saints, being transformed into the people God wants us to be, and the church calls this sanctification, growing into the people God wants us to be. In 2 Corinthians 3:8, Paul says that we are all being transformed by the power of the Spirit. He says, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So back to the phrase, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Friends, there's some good news of the gospel in there. We've been given this great gift, the Holy Catholic Church, the place where we have an essential part to play. We are holy because we are dedicated to God. We are Catholic because we are in a universal family of faith. We are in communion because we are fellowshipping with all believers, and we are surrounded by the saints who have gone before us and are all around us. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really good statement of faith to me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Friends, let us stand now and affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed found on page 35 of your hymnal. I believe in